Go ahead and open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans, chapter 3. Romans, chapter 3. I'll read beginning of verse 10. And to read down to verse 30. Romans, chapter 3 and verse 10. Let's begin there. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. By the way, in case you're wondering, that's all about me and you. That's the unregenerate man. That's what we are. Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Notice verse 21. This is the turning point verse. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. We'll stop there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, I pray tonight's message would be an encouraging message. That we'd recognize something that perhaps, Lord, we either have not recognized before or maybe not enough. What you've done for us through salvation. Please fill me with your Spirit. I pray that you would use the message, Lord, to glorify yourself. And most of all, if there's someone here this evening that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, that tonight they come to know you as Savior. But for the believer, Lord, please do something in our hearts tonight that our whole attitude towards the Christian life might change for the better. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years ago, when we first got saved, my wife and I went to this thing called the Sword of the Lord Conference, the National Sword of the Lord Conference. I've never been to the National Sword of the Lord Conference. You ought to go there. It's actually very good. And we went year after year after year. The one thing I remember about it, I remember many things about it, but one thing in particular was they used to do a few songs down at Gospel Light Baptist Church, the same ones every year. The choir would sing, and then someone would sing a solo. But every year, I'll never forget this man. I could see his face in my mind right now. This elderly man that just loved the Lord, that had the biggest smile I've ever seen in my life, sung a song called I'm Justified. I'm justified, and he said, I'm happy in Jesus today. Why? Because he was justified. Justified. Now you may say, what does that mean? Well, that's what tonight's message is about. Now for several weeks we've been looking at doctrines of the Bible. And in particular, soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. What it means to be saved. I hope you're glad you're saved. Don't ever get over your salvation. If you do, if it becomes ho-hum, you're in a dangerous place in the Christian life. Because we ought to enjoy serving the Lord. Amen? And so don't ever get over that. Now again, when we speak of salvation, we are speaking of mankind, sinful mankind, being reconciled to God. Amen? I mean, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen? Salvation. Having our sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Being able to know that we're going to heaven when we die. I'm so glad for salvation. Now, we've already looked at several things concerning the doctrine of salvation. For example, we looked at man's need of salvation. Why did God provide it? Because man needs it. Man needs to be saved. Who needs to be saved? All mankind. Every human being, right? Romans 3:23, I think I read it tonight. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So man is a sinner. Man is separated from God. And he needs to be reconciled to God in order to go to heaven and not go to hell. And that's what we mean when man needs salvation. Then we saw God's provision for salvation. So what did God do? He provided everything necessary for man to be saved. You say, how did he do that? Through Jesus Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll preach itself right there, that verse. Then we look thirdly at man's responsibility in salvation. You see, yes, man needs to be saved. And yes, God provided everything, but that doesn't mean everybody is saved. We're not universalists around here. We're not Calvinists either. We believe there's a responsibility that man has. Every man must individually respond to the gospel message in order to be saved. You say, how must he respond? He must believe. Amen? Well, that's real tricky, isn't it? No, it's pretty simple. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we saw that a true belief includes two things. It includes repentance, a change of mind, and then also faith, embracing and believing in the Lord, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week, we kind of took the next step in the logic path, if you will, and we began to look at the God-given results of salvation. So you have man's need, God's provision, man's response, and he gets saved. But are there any other results? What are the results of being saved? In other words, when somebody does get saved, what are some of the things that happen? And I mentioned a bunch of Bible words last week, and we looked at one, and I'll get to that in a moment. But a bunch of Bible words that are used to describe what happens when a person gets saved. We talked about regeneration. We talked about, or I mentioned, and we'll look at it tonight, justification, redemption, adoption, positional sanctification, and reconciliation. You may say, well, those are just two big words. I don't want to know what they're... No, we need to know what they mean. They're Bible words. And it gives us a deeper understanding of everything that God has done for us in salvation. Now, again, often we use those words interchangeably. We say that person's reconciled, he's justified, he's regenerated. And that's true, all indicating salvation. But in reality, each of those words describe a different aspect of what God did or does when a person gets saved. Kind of like a different slant to it, if you will. And I think as we learn each word and what they mean, boy, it's going to enrich your understanding and hopefully stir your heart up a little bit about what God has done for us. Now remember, all of those things, all of those words I mentioned, they all happen simultaneously and instantaneously when a person gets saved. Now last week we looked at regeneration. We saw that's the same thing as the being born again, the new birth, right? Regened. And we talked about the new life and all that. This week we're going to talk about, obviously, justification, another word, justification. Now, notice, if you will, verse 28 of our text. We read, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, we find this word justify or a form of it about 50 times in the Bible. Now, notice how many times this word appears in our text. We see it in verse 20. And I'll just pick out a few. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, there it is again, in his sight. Look at verse 24. being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And then lastly, as I said it already, verse 28, which is our text verse tonight, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So tonight, I'm going to preach on the subject of this, justified by faith. Now catch it. Think about it for a moment. We are justified how? By faith. So we get justified when we exercise faith. Imagine the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're here tonight and you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says that at that very moment, you were justified. That's an amazing thing, to be justified. Now, what does that mean? Now, tonight, what I'd like to do, I'd like to see if we cannot understand a little bit deeper exactly what that means, the difference between that word and some other words, and know how this ought to affect our lives. Every Bible doctrine ought to affect our lives. We do not learn the Bible just for head knowledge. Not supposed to, anyway. It's supposed to, yes, begin in our head, go down into our heart, and then end up in our feet, amen, doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's see if we can see this word justify and see what it means again and how it ought to affect us. You know, there, as I mentioned when I was speaking of this spiritual depression series, there are many people that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior that, to be quite honest, they don't seem very happy. Everybody smile right there. That's where you're supposed to smile. Let's go like this. Convince me you're happy. Really, it's almost as if the Christian life is a drudgery. Or being saved is, you know, ho-hum, well, yeah, I'm saved. What's the big deal? Something's wrong. Something is wrong there. If the Christian life has become boring to you, if your salvation has become ho-hum to you, something is wrong in your heart. And just maybe tonight, I don't know, maybe, maybe not, just maybe tonight a better grasp of this doctrine of justification might stir you up to maybe even bleep out an amen tonight. Amen? I mean, you might even give us a holy hiccup tonight, if you understand it, hopefully. But anyway, let's see some things about justification tonight. Notice number one, if you will, the meaning of justification. Write that down, please. Now, the word justification, and you probably want to, I didn't put a blank in our sheet for this tonight, but this is important. The word justification, this is really important, is a legal term. It is a legal term. When you think of justification, I want you to automatically think of law, think of legal things, think of court. Think of similar to how our court system works. You see, when we think of the word justification, we should think of a court of law. But remember, we're not talking about man's court of law, although in some ways there are many similarities, but not total, and you'll see tonight, I hope. We're talking about God's court of law. By the way, God has a court of law. In case you're wondering what it looks like, what this court is going to feel like and be like, why don't we hold our hand here and go over to Revelation chapter 20. Let's enter into God's court of law. Revelation chapter 20, and let's pick it up in verse 11. Notice the Bible says, and I saw a great white throne. You might think of that as the judge's bench. Notice, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, watch this, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There'll be no missing court on that day. No contempt of court given out for missing. Everybody's going to show up. The lost, unregenerate man. This is the great white throne judgment for the lost, and this is the court of God for that. And all men that are lost are going to show up here. You can't get out of it. They may want to run. They may want to say, I just don't believe that, so I guess that's not for me. Sorry, you're going to be there. Again, there's found no place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, I do a whole message on this, and the scope of my message tonight has nothing to do with this, but let me just say this. The books, one of the books he's talking about is the Bible. There's no doubt about it. Jesus said that the Word would judge them in the last day. So one of them is the Word of God. So God's going to call court. Unregenerate man is going to show up. He's going to open up the law, and he's going to compare man's life, unregenerate man's life, to the law and see how he fares. And notice, if you will, in verse 14, and just skipping for time's sake, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what the court is like. There it is. Again, there's no escaping it. And only those that will not be a part of that, notice in verse 15, are those whose names are found written in the book of life. Can I put it this way? Those that have been declared righteous. Those that have been justified. That's you. If you're saved here tonight. Now remember, the doctrine of justification is what I call one of the facets in the diamond of salvation. Think of a diamond, if you have one, and how it has all those sides to it. Very similar to the doctrine of salvation. You see justification, regeneration, all those things I talked about. So justification is just one facet of it that deals with man's guilt before the judge of all the earth. Now, you want to write this here in that blank here. Notice justification has to do with a man's, watch this, standing before God, not his state. It has to do with his standing before God, not his state. Hopefully you'll see that, what I mean by that, a little clearer at the end. Now notice what justification is. Look at the definition. It's the act of God whereby a person that trusts Christ as Savior is, notice, declared to be cleared of all blame and freed from every charge. I'm pretty excited about that. It's when a person trusts Christ as Savior, and again, he's declared to be clear. I'm clear. I'm clean. Gone, gone, gone. My sins are gone in the court of God. I'm justified. I'm declared righteous. I'm clear from every charge. Imagine yourself on death row for a minute. I mean, you have waiting for you lethal injection in a few hours. Imagine laying there waiting and the things that would be going through your mind. And as the time comes close, you hear a knock on the cell door. And you're thinking, it's time for me to die. Yet somebody comes in and says, so-and-so, I have good news. I have a pardon here from the governor. You can go free. How would you feel? I'll tell you how you'd feel. You'd do a little hallelujah dance right about there. Would you like to think about that a little bit before you go? No way. If I can get out of here, if I can be cleared from all my charges, if I can be escaped the sentence that is upon me, hey, praise God, I'm going to do that. It's the same with God. That's what justification is. When a person gets saved, hey, they are declared absolutely righteous and clear from every charge against you. That's every thought you've ever had, every sinful deed you've ever committed, every bad motive in your heart. Imagine that. All of it is clear. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I like the way T.P. Simmons put it. He wrote it in a book, and it's a long definition in his systematic study of Bible doctrine. Listen to what he says. It's long, but it's worth it. Justification is that instantaneous, everlasting, gracious, free, judicial act of God, whereby on account of the merit of Christ's blood and righteousness, a repentant, believing sinner is free from the penalty of the law, restored to God's favor, and considered as possessing the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now that's a mouthful, but it's a good mouthful if you ask me. That's a pretty good one. You see, with justification, understand, if you're here tonight and you are saved, you will never, ever, ever be judged for your sins. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. Well, you guys are getting too excited about this tonight. Amen. Your sins and my sins were judged on the cross of Calvary. I'm talking about your past sins. I'm talking about your present sins. I'm talking about your future sins. We're all placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And imagine they were judged there. He was in your stead. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to us. God sees us as He sees His Son. We're like Jesus, amen, in the mind of God. Thank God for that. You see, justification goes beyond, and you've heard this, and I'm not going to dog anybody who uses this definition. It's fine. You've heard it, just as if I never sinned, right? Justification, just as if. But you know, it actually goes beyond that. It's not just as if I'd ever sinned. It's just as if I were never a sinner. God says, because of Jesus Christ, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, justification is a once-only act. It happened when you got saved. We're justified in the sight of God forever. We can never be arraigned as a criminal before the judge. Never, ever, ever, because of the work of Jesus Christ. This is our unchangeable standing before God. You happy about that? You ought to be. Do you know that this act of, you say, you know why a lot of people don't get it? It's because it's beyond our human comprehension. That's why. I mean, to fully grasp it. It really is. Because we don't act that way as humans to one another. You know what I mean? We can forgive a sin, but you can't erase a memory. I mean, we don't forget. God says it's gone. I mean, it's absolutely gone. You know, often I liken this. When I try to witness to someone, many times I use the parallel of the law. I just do. Because we have God's law. And I say something like this. I say, if someone commits a crime and they break the law, and the law requires, let's say, a $50,000 fine, you broke the law, and someone else comes in and pays the fine for you. And I say, can you go free? They'll say, oh, yes, you can go free. And I say, why? They say, because the debt was paid. Did you pay the debt? No, I didn't pay it. Somebody else paid it for me. But you can go free, right? And I try to use that analogy, if you will. But understand something. In reality, with Christ, it's much better than that. It's much deeper than that. Because, yes, the debt is paid, but my standing is as if I never committed a crime at all. Never did. And that's much better. That's how wonderful justification is. And it can never be taken away from us. Never! Thank God for that. Hold your hand here. Go to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. I want God to get us excited tonight about our salvation. I really do. Because while the gavel of guilt would have fallen on all of us for our sin, the justification of Christ wipes it out. Notice Psalm 32. Look at verse 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord, watch this, imputeth not iniquity. Imputeth has the idea of placing on the account of someone. Notice, he imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Notice verse 1, the first word is blessed. Notice verse 2, the first word is blessed. Do you know what the word blessed literally means? It means happy. You happy? God says you ought to be. Happy, that's just, and I'm not saying correcting the Bible at all, I'm just doing it for emphasis sake. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man, happy is a man, unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Happy, 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 that means we ought to rejoice, amen? We ought to get excited about it. It ought to cause all our problems in this world, all our sicknesses, all our, everything that's going on in our life to pale in comparison to justification. You know, we come in here, we sing some songs, don't we? Save, 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 right? Save. We sing them all. I mean, about being saved, about once for all, oh brother, believe it. We sing a saved by the blood of the crucified one. And I'll tell you what, sometimes sitting up on this pulpit, looking down at some people, I see some people that are really happy. But I see some people, I wonder, where are they? Because they don't seem real happy about it.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Wow. Blessed is a man. Amen. You see, we ought to not sing like we're bored with those songs. We ought to sing them like we're excited about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Why? Because we're justified. I'm declared righteous. When I die and stand before God, I am clothed in the Lamb, amen, the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going into heaven because of that. Praise God. And I don't have to worry about it because I'm justified. The gavel has fallen and said, not guilty because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the meaning of justification. Notice secondly, quickly, number two, the particulars of justification. You say, well, how do I get justified? Well, I think you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you know, in order to be justified before God, and I say this, I should say more in soul winning, we have to come to God on His terms, not ours. You say, what are His terms? Well, in the Bible, we have His terms. Let's consider, notice, several particulars about salvation. Notice letter A. This is so simple. Write this down. Justification is through the work of Jesus Christ. That's simple. That's it. Justification can only be obtained through, and again, not attained, but obtained through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, look at our text back in Romans chapter 3. Let the Bible speak for itself. Notice verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or satisfaction through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, watch this here, that He might be, this is very important, He, mean God, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So God is not only the justifier, but He's also just in doing what He's doing. You say, how can that be? Well, let me explain it to you. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Do you know that the law, God's law, declares that the penalty of sin is death? This was stated all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, here it is, thou shalt surely die. There it is, God's word, God's law. Well, that's not the law of Moses. Yeah, it's a commandment of God, though. It's still His law. He said, if we eat of it, Adam, if he ate of it, Eve, in that day, they would surely die. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, we understand this death that it's talking about is not just we're just going to keel over one day and die, although that's part of it. It is both the physical death and the spiritual death. Death is separation. We understand that. Separation includes separation from God for all eternity in a place called hell. And so the law states that the wages of sin, the punishment of sin, the penalty of sin is death and hell. That's the requirement of the law. All mankind has sinned against God. We get that. We're all guilty. Therefore, every human being is born with the sentence, the death sentence of death and hell upon them because of our sin. So the question is, back there in Romans chapter 3, is how can God, who has the attributes of being holy and righteous and just, who is no respecter of persons, stay true to His attributes and also justify man? How can He do it? You ever talk to someone, you know, people have weirdest ideas about salvation, you know? They really do, just some strange stuff. You know, if you die, you go to heaven. Would you go to heaven? Well, yeah, I would. Why? Well, God just let me in. You know, I'm trying my best. So you're trying your best, therefore you're... So what's the idea? So that means if everybody just tries their best, well, no, not too much. You know, well, what's the requirement then? And, you know, people have all kinds of ideas about it. And most of them are wrong. Because what they do, that would make God not just. If God says, you know, Johnny, you can go in. Seth, sorry. You're not going to make it in. Emily, okay, you can come on in. Florian, all right, come on in. Jackie, sorry, you know, sorry. I like you, you know. I like light, you know, I don't like light hair. I like dark hair. And so everybody going, I like no hair, too. But anyway, I'm getting to like it more and more every day. That wouldn't be just. That would not conform, if you will, to his attributes. You see, he has to keep by his word the law, but also still remain holy and righteous and just and not be a right respecter of persons. How does he do that? The only answer is Jesus Christ. That's the only answer. Justification through Jesus Christ, you see. You can be saved by faith, justified by faith in him. And the law is still, the penalty of it is laid on Jesus Christ, so the penalty's paid, yet you still can be forgiven. And again, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And again, when you accept Christ as Savior, remember, it is instantaneous and it is eternal. It is not a process. It's not like, well, I'm trying to be justified. I'm trying to do my best. No, no, no. The Bible says in Luke 18:14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. The justification of the believer in the Bible is always in the past tense. I have been justified when I got saved. That's when it happened. And I still am justified because it is eternal. You see, once acquitted in a court of law, a man cannot be tried for the same crime again. And thank God we're acquitted through the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of Calvary. And he cannot bring it up and will not bring it up again. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Why is that? Because we're justified. Justified. Imagine that. You know, no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. And by that I mean the saved. Amen. We're forgiven. All right, number two, or letter B, write this down too. Notice also, justification is not by our own works. We get that. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. There's nothing we can do to earn justification. That's where the world goes wrong. They think if I just try hard enough, or if I turn over a new leaf, or if I do some kind acts, or if I get baptized, that does not change anything. You cannot justify anyone. That would be like someone going into that same court of law that I had mentioned before, being found guilty, the judge pronouncing, gavel goes down, $50,000 fine, and the criminal looks up to the judge and say, well, I see I have a $50,000 fine, but how about if I just go out and wash your car? Could I do that? Well, how about if I shine your shoes? How about if I go mow your lawn? How about if I go get your groceries every day for the next year? No, because the law states a certain thing must happen. You must pay the price. And it's the same with God. The wages of sin is death. Somebody must die, and it's either going to be the sinner or it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ in his place. Thank God if you're justified, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Nothing we can do. And then letter C, write this down also on the other side, is also justification is through faith. It's not through faith and works. It can't be. It can't be grace and works. Not at all. Notice Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Notice the Bible says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude a man that is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. None of us are going to boast when we get to heaven like we did some great deed to get there, because we didn't. We didn't do a thing. We're hell-deserving sinners that have broken the law of God. And so it can only be praise to him. You see, salvation by faith, the justification through Jesus Christ, gives all glory to God and none to man. None. He's the one that gets the glory. Thank God. No boasting. And then number three tonight, quickly, if you notice, not only the meaning of justification, the particulars of justification, lastly, the results of justification. All right? How many say I'm justified tonight? Amen. Some of you are writing, so I don't know. You had your hand down. Would you know that there are some things that ought to produce in your life, in my life? being justified? Revisit Calvary often, would you please, in your mind? Revisit what you were. And I don't mean get saved again. You know what I mean? Go back and remember what Christ has done. Remember what he did for you. Remember where, think about where you would be if it was not for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of what your marriage would be like. Think of what your children would be like. Think about it without Christ. Justification gives us this new declared position of righteousness in it. And so much occurs. What are some things? Notice letter A is this. The first thing is peace. Peace. You know, there's a big difference between somebody that's dying without the Lord and those around them that do not know the Lord than people that do. Huge difference. You go in a situation where someone's passing away, the person knows the Lord Jesus, the family's a Christian family. I'll tell you what, there's such a peace in that room. There's such a peace in the heart of those people. There's a peace in the person that's going to pass if they're still alive. I mean, it's still communicating all that. Why is that? Because we know we're justified. I don't have to wring my hands wondering, oh no, what's going to happen after I die? Oh no, no, I don't have to do that because I already know. Knowing we're justified, we experience peace. You say, what kind of peace? There's two kinds of peace. Write this down somewhere next to that. The first one is peace with God, and the second one is the peace of God. Now notice, go over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Notice the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, notice the phrase, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have there written in my Bible three words, no more war. Do you know before we're saved, the Bible says we're at enmity with God. We're enemies of the cross. And once we get saved, guess what? The flag's up, the surrender flag, because we're at peace now. We're on his side. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Imagine that. Thank the Lord for that. But there's another one. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. And that is this, the peace of God. The peace of God. Philippians chapter 4. Notice, if you will, verse 7. The Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Why is that? Because there's no more condemnation. There's no more guilt. There's no more incrimination. There's no more fear of death. There's no more penalty for our sin. And because of all of that, we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. So we have peace. Letter B, write this down also. We also have assurance. Assurance of what? Salvation. You see, the Bible is very, very clear. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, spending a lot of time in Romans tonight, the Bible says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Watch this. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So my justification, my new standing in Jesus Christ, and I'm declared righteous, ensures my glorification. I'll be in heaven. God's going to bring me to heaven. There's no doubt about that, because that's what he promises in his word. I don't have to worry about, what if I slip up? What if I have a bad thought before I die? What if I say something I shouldn't? You know, sometimes people get the idea that I need to make peace with everyone before I pass away. I have to do that. Now, I understand there's a certain way of being right with God, but I'll tell you what, that has nothing to do with salvation. I am declared righteous in Jesus Christ. If I had to do that, I'd be busy going around half the world, not about your life, but mine, you know what I'm saying? Trying to make peace with everybody. But the truth is, we have assurance of salvation. We are eternally secure in Jesus Christ. And there's one last thing. Letter C. Write this down. We're done. Good works. What? Yeah. Good works. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And we're done right here. Look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show you thy faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Look at verse 24, very important phrase. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Notice the phrase, ye see. That's talking about man's view. Now, God knows our heart. He knows faith in Christ is what saves us. That washes away our sins. But you can't, the only way you see my faith is through my works. That's the way I see your faith, and you say mine. You see mine. You say, show me your faith. You see it? No, but you see me, I see you coming to church all the time. I see you reading, opening your Bible, talking about the things of God. And so there's something there. So understand, when you're justified, when you declared righteous, what that does is it produces works. Knowing what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, knowing that he has declared me righteous by faith, should cause me to want to serve him. Why wouldn't you? You see, this is the natural outflow. When you're justified, I don't know about you, don't you feel indebted to him a little bit? Don't you feel like, you know what, if I can serve him, I want to serve him, I'm going to give him my life, and I want to do whatever I can for him? Why? Because of what he's done for me. Not in order to be saved, but because he saved me, because he justified me. He says, I want you to give me your life. Because I've declared you righteous. Give me this little snippet of a life you have and let me use you for my glory. You see, justification brings freedom, doesn't it? Freedom. I don't have to do anything to get to heaven anymore. I've already trusted Christ. Everything I do is something I get to do, not I have to do. We have standards because I have to have standards. There's standards because I want to have. I want to please my Lord. He says, don't do this and don't do that. We ought to want to please him, right? And why? Because we're justified. He saved us. Someone once wrote this, and I don't know if I can read. I think I read the whole thing. He said it was a preacher, I believe it was. He says, what we have in Christ, listen to this, a love that can never be fathomed, a life that can never die, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a peace that can never be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a light that can never be darkened, a happiness that can never be interrupted, a strength that can never be enfeebled, a purity that can never be defiled, a beauty that can never be marred, a wisdom that can never be baffled, and resources that can never be exhausted. That's great, isn't it? We have all that. How? Because we're justified. Because we're justified. Praise God. Can I ask you something? I'm justified, so happy in Jesus today. Are you? Are you happy in Jesus today? If not, think about what he's done for you. Put a smile on your face. Amen. Let's pray together.